Tonight, Panorama focuses on the terrorist gangs who follow one small second division club, Millwall, in London's Dockland. Deliberately, we're looking at this violence.
I've travelled far and wide, across the Great Divide. I've even sailed the seven seas. I've orbited in space, in almost every place. I've even climbed the Pyrenees. But no longer will I roam. There is no place like home.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. My name's Omar. I've got my co-host Mickey with me today. How are you doing, mate?
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're watching this. Hello.
You guys wouldn't know when we're recording this, but we just literally watched the Crystal Palace a Mill game, or Mill Crystal Palace, to wrap up our pre-season schedule.
Not in the stadium, by the way.
No, not quite. We're not that luxury just yet. Hopefully in the future, I'm sure we'll be able to get back in the ground, but we're not quite big dogs enough yet in the community to get tickets to that anyway, behind closed doors.
We are going that way. So if your mate hasn't listened to us yet, make sure you forward him a link, because we are growing and we're growing quite fast. So make sure, share him a link, tell him to have a listen, and drop us a DM or something. We'll give him a shout out, or give you a shout out for getting us a new viewer or a new listener.
Couldn't round it out better myself. So just obviously, today we're going to go through a few different bits and bobs. We're going to cover pre-season, obviously quite a short one pre-season for Millwall with only three games. And obviously we've got Crawley on Saturday, so we'll give you a short little preview into that game, obviously what we think of the game on Saturday and the importance of it. I mean, personally, I'd like us to get off to a good start. But to recap pre-season, we've had three games so far, obviously all behind closed doors. You had your first game at Calmont Road. I think we beat Bromley 5-0, if memory serves me right. Troy Parrott obviously signing, scoring a couple goals in the next game as well against Southend, which we won 3-0 at Roots Hall. And then it concluded today with Crystal Palace coming down to the Den, 1-0 defeat. Mickey, just quickly, your thoughts over pre-season. Three games, two wins, one defeat against Palace, 1-0. What was your thoughts? Obviously, we watched the game today, both of us. What
do you think? Playoffs. It's pre-season, isn't it? I mean, pre-seasons are always the same. They are what they are. You know, some days you can come out and do fantastically well. Other days you come out and, you know, like today with Crystal Palace, it was a very, very average game. I think Hayden done well in the position he was in. I think he'd done really, really well. I think we were good up until they scored, and then we just seemed to take a foot off the gas and not really bother. And we knew, you know, Premiership team, we knew we were going to have a bit more of a challenge than what we got against Bromley or you know, what we got against Southend. But they seem tight. They seem to be working together and they seem to have, you know, holding formation and stuff. So they seem okay. But again, they just need to get rid of that, you know, when they scored against, drop their head and go forward. But friendlies are always the same, mate. They're just a testing ground, aren't they? So you can try out different positions, try out different players. They've always have been. They always will be. So, I don't bank anything. Holding on to it at all.
No, I agree.
Shame really that the games weren't aired for everybody though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought, I mean, obviously we've not seen a lot of the three games. Obviously Palace was on the iFollow, I think, if you had the audio subscription, £4.49. I thought it was a bit cheeky. What was your thoughts on that, firstly, of the club getting a bit of money from us to subscribe, or what did you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's
I think last season, just to quickly, we had obviously fans at the ground, but I think we played Sociedad, didn't we, the Spanish team, but it was streamed on YouTube. So, I mean, I thought it was a bit contentious personally, seeing that I had to pay for it. I mean, I know obviously in the situation we're in right now, but I thought if a friendly anyway, it could have been aired on YouTube or something, no?
I don't mind paying for it. At the end of the day, the club's getting some money, that's fine. It was a fiver. You'd probably spend more than that on a cup of coffee, to be fair. But I just don't like the way that it was done that, you know, it's going to give them fake numbers because everyone's going to have subscribed on a monthly and everyone's going to cancel. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to get all that money as such. You know, you're not going to get any other games out of it. So you're only going to get audio and stats, which we know websites where we can get all of that anyway. And most of it's going to be on Sky or iFollow anyway. So you're going to get that. But it should have just been a one-off fee or something and gone, look, it's a friendly. I tell you what, look, we'll make some money for the, you know, they could have put it behind a paywall on YouTube and took all the money rather than giving the FA 30%. I think the footage is crap. I think the camera is a one camera show. And, you know, I don't think it's down to my broadband at all, but I think the footage wasn't great. There was a lot of blurriness, a lot of buffering. You know, it wasn't great for a service like that. But look, hey ho, we both paid. And I suppose it gives us a right to moan about it, to be fair.
Exactly. I think it was a DIY job from the club, obviously. And just thought, let's get up there. At least we could watch the game at the very least. So, I mean,
I don't know if it was the club or not. I mean, I'll hold judgment on that for now, because I follow is an EFL and I can't think of the media. I can post a link later. But it's a different media company what looks after it for the FA. And I believe the clubs get maybe 60, 70% of revenue from it. But all the advertising and everything else goes through this media company and the FA get all that money. I don't think the club get any from that. But, you know, I would have thought personally the club would have probably preferred to do it through iTunes, YouTube. I've just made the new channel there. I would have thought they would have preferred to do it through YouTube rather than, because I think it would have given them a lot more PR benefit. I mean, look, this leads into what we were going to discuss in a bit, to be fair. So, you know, if it's all right with you, we might as well discuss it now. It's a season ticket, the money funds, the memberships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And mm-hmm. I think there's been a bit of a clusterfuck with PR over all of this. You know, yes, the club needs to have revenue to give revenue out for all these people what are looking for refunds. What's going on behind closed doors, fine. But there's been a few fans what have, you know, contacted me through, because most fans know my email, asking what's going on. I've had people from £400, £500, £600 worth of money outstanding to people who've got 40, 50 quid. Most of these are still on furlough. A lot of them are a couple of them have been made redundant. They need the money. If we're buying new players, we're going out for transfers, we're obviously doing this, we're doing that. Surely we've got a pot where we can go, there can't be much more than 30, 40 grand's worth of refunds. Surely out there. And most fans probably don't necessarily need it. I mean, I've had conversations with fans asking me, you know, how they can buy a season ticket. They know they're not necessarily going to get in, but they can afford to. Can they have a season ticket? So I've directed them to the club and said, look, you know, go speak to them. I'm sure they're going to take your money. But there's just that taste. Look, I know that everyone's been contacted because I've seen the emails and whatnot, but it's like, once people are back, we'll let you know. Well, you know, we're getting on for 4 or 5 months. You've been sitting on people's money. I understand you haven't necessarily got money, but if you've got money to pay people, and you've got money to go out and look at new players, and you've got money to do everything else with, then, you know what, 30, 40 grand, I can't see it being much more than that.
I think it's contentious. I agree with you. And like, I agree with you on the PR point of view. Like, I know even myself, like a couple of my mates earlier, when we're trying to get the game sorted for today to watch it, it's like no one really knows what's going on. And I mean, okay, like you said, behind closed doors, whatever, but people want their refunds. People want to buy a new season ticket. I know a few people that haven't renewed yet and are desperate to because they don't want to miss any games. But it's all kind of, we had that little statement through the MSC, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago now. Exactly. And with the refund, yeah, like, I think like it's, you're looking at it when it kind of, you had one line reply saying, thank you for this, we'll get back to you. But the ticket office is closed. People have their inquiries. Not everyone looks online for social media. I might want to ring up the club shop. You can't even do that to get any information. It's all a bit kind of hush hush. And this, I don't know if I know the club's obviously trying to save funds and limit their damage where they can. But I mean, I think from a public point of view, it doesn't look too great, even towards our own fans.
I think, Shona, the club appointed person as such, the Mill liaison, the support liaison officer, does a fantastic job on record. Great. I'm on record now. She's done a fantastic job when I was found on the board looking after disabled fans. She's on all my contact with her, has done a fantastic job. I was accused over the last week or two of bad mouthing her across public forums, and which is complete and utter bollocks. Unless you've got it, come and show it to me.
Yeah, not a single bad word from here anyway, because I know you're always complimentary, aren't you?
I've got nothing bad to say. I think she does a blinding job, and I've done that role, yeah, pretty much. I've done it as a fan on the board. I know how fucking hard it is. I know how hard it is from both ends, from the fans' end and the pushback from the club's end. So you are fighting both things, and you can only do what you can do. If someone says no, you can't do any more, you're fucked. And you've got to deal with the outfall from that. So I've never slagged her off publicly. I'm not going to deny, I've slagged off the MSC massively. That goes back there over time when the old MSC was, you know, that this will be another show completely just where we discuss this in fully, because there's a lot of people giving it all the fucking chat about me and whatnot and don't know fuck all about it. But the MSC put out a statement what was as if it was a statement of what's going forward. And if you missed the first paragraph or the first couple of lines to actually realise that nothing in that statement was actually set in stone. It was pretty much a consultation as such. The truth of the matter is, what that was put out for fans to go ballistic and go, what the fuck, blah, 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 blah. Then they can step back and go, actually, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do this. Mm. And unfortunately, the MSC was getting hammered from various angles, and rightly so to a degree, because they were putting something out where they didn't necessarily know everything to go with it, which part isn't their fault, but they should have stood behind a statement, which they tried to do. And they dug themselves a fucking great hole.
100%. Like, they couldn't get out of. They put this out, and I think it was like you said, the club probably wanted to put a feeler out there. Maybe a better way might have been to do a little survey or something to ask fans what they thought, or, you know, this could be potentially what it is. What are your thoughts about this? But instead, maybe at the time, it looked like, at least to me, without someone that's obviously like in your position, how you obviously met all these people and you know who's running what, it came across like here's like a breaking news, big outlet for us to get a bit of interaction, to kind of get a bit of exposure. This is the MSC. We get to know all this information. And it's like, but I think it massively backfired, and I agree with you. Like, now they look a bit silly for it, so...
I mean, you know, and also, you know, the timings of stuff don't come out. You know, okay, we've got a new season coming, right? And they're coming out now going, all join up to the membership. Everyone's kicking off with it and going, why? You've done fuck all in the pre-fair. You know, you've not come out with a refund. You're not fighting people who keep asking you questions about refunds. You've not gone to the club and said, you need to pay this now. Yeah, regardless of what, you need to pay it, right? There's got to be reserved somewhere to sit there and start getting money out to these people. And you don't represent the whole fan base. You charge and you represent a very, very small number. You're never going to know the numbers. I mean, I've been told it's less than, I'm not even going to mention numbers, but it's low, right? Is there room for thing? You know, yeah, I've been approached. There is massive, massive news coming about AMS. Not with me. I'm not going to be involved in the new process going forward. You're going to get some top people there, but the only way you're going to get full representation of the fan base is by a fans panel, and it needs to be represented by various different sections of the fan, the forums, the Twitter, the Facebooks, etc. And that's the way it's going to go, and that's it. And as long as I've got hold in my arse, AMS is never going to fucking charge you to represent you. My thoughts are, I think, you know, in the current situation, why are you worrying about fucking plugging yourself to get? To me, I'd be looking to making sure that everybody's involved, because you want fans on, and you want... There's massive things going on with the FSA, with the FFA, with the FSA, or the FSF, the different sections, all of this. There's loads of people teaming up to go on stuff, to get fans back in grounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, you want a voice. At the moment, you ain't got a voice. When AMS was at its prime doing the battle and all that, we had 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. We're not even in its prime, but we had between 4,000 and 7,000 people. Lowest, probably just over 4, high up towards 7. And it would have grown more if we had focused more on it. It is coming back, and it's going to come back with a voice, because at the moment, there's nothing there. And I know that there's certain elements who go, oh, yeah, well, it's just you, it's just you. Well, do you know what? AMS come on the scene 6 years ago, believe it or not, 2014. And it fucking done a fact. It done a job what it was meant to do. And it fought, and it kept the club where it is. It fought the CPO. It got a lot of people fucking to back down. It put a lot of pressure on a lot of celebrities who were in boards and all that around the club. And we made people look again. And we made people look at us and help. So, you know what? It is there. But I think, you know, PR and everything else what's gone on has been done really badly. Really badly. And I think that that's if there's one mistake from all of this, that's probably it. If they'd have done the PR a little bit better, done a, you know, a Survey Monkey survey on fans, blah, 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 all these people what are desperately looking for money, paid them and announced that you're paying people, you know, look, we're now starting to pay people, or even go, as of September the whatever, or August the whatever, we're going to make payments to people. That's it. Because at the moment, you look like you're hiding.
Great more, mate.
If you owe me 600 quid and I need that money badly, I want that money. What the fuck are you doing with it?
I think it's, yeah, it is contentious. And obviously, it is a bit, especially, the problem is maybe from afar, people don't know about it. But if, obviously, if you're a Mill fan and, you know, it looks bad on the club. And in the end of the day, it makes you question who's running in the inside of the club that's obviously doing what's going on, really. So, yeah, I think rant over about that for the moment.
Yeah, there'll be another show about AMS
we'll
and MSC.
I'm sure we'll have a few more bits in the future.
Make sure that you're listening to that, because there will be the truth and everything what's coming out, as in why the MSC was disbanded and why this new one did what it's done, why I couldn't stop the train when it started moving. But, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll upset some people, no doubt.
So we'll steer back onto the games, obviously, yeah, we've had so far pre-season. I guess we'll quickly touch base and say, obviously, Troy Parrott didn't play today. He scored two goals though, didn't he? 2-2. Shame to not see him playing. I think when I looked at the game today, obviously without seeing the last two in full detail, we just seem to be missing that striker up front. Bradshaw played all right, he worked hard but didn't get the opportunities, and I'm thinking, without seeing Parrott but knowing he scored 2-2, would he have had a chance today? Would he have maybe scored?
Look at his goal at Southend, and he was just in the right place at the right time. That little kink, and it was in. So I think if you look at today's game, there was a few of those chances where the ball got knocked in. I can't think who it was who nearly scored towards the end, where it just went wide.
Might have Bradshaw, actually. I think it was ball in the box and he got the header on it, didn't he? You on about one, yeah?
Yeah. And I think that if Parrott's playing, but look, he's a young kid, we can't pile too much pressure on him. He's just got to go enjoy his game. Go enjoy the football. I think Woods was good today.
Yeah, he came on as a sub, didn't he? I think Parrott's actually injured, it's worth noting. Obviously today, yeah, so he's out for a couple of weeks, they're saying. So obviously he got called up to the Republic of Ireland squad as well. So I guess he's withdrawn from that squad. I've not seen any comments for that.
I think he's back with Tottenham in a minute.
Yeah, so obviously you've got that scenario. I guess we'll run through it quickly, that, you know, we played the same formation as we did at the end of last season, five at the back. We looked quite comfortable. I thought the only downside I thought for the only goal was when Alex Pearce got kind of shown up for his lack of pace. I think it was just a long ball over the top. Wilfried Zaha just had him on toast. Obviously, Zaha's Palace's best player. And, you know, he truly delivered and put a ball in the box. And I think it's Max Meyer, the German player, they've got to finish it. But I think, to me, that was the only downside. We pressed high. We tried to... there was a bit of a unit there. You had new signers in there. Scott Malone, left wing back. What would you make of Malone coming back? Any thoughts on that, mate? I thought he'd done all right, personally. I know he's
all right. He's probably the best player we can get in that position at the moment within the Championship. And, you know, as long as his attitude's changed from when he was here first, because allegedly he was quite toxic in the changing room and whatnot. And I mean, if you look at that report I sent you in the week from 2015 or whatever it was.
And
from
the Amber, wasn't it?
Maybe we'll post it out when we put this out, whatever you see. But, you know, the little statement from Millwall to say that he was leaving and going on really sums it up. You know, we both work within where we have, you know, we see HR statements when we know the truth of the matter and see the HR statement. And it was obvious that something weren't right there, that he moved on for more money and whatnot. And to be fair, he's had a fall from grace to a degree. Do you know what I mean? He's come down the ladder, he's not getting the games, and he's going to get the games. But it's a different manager. Maybe Gary is a lot better at controlling him and man-managing him.
He's 29 years old now. So you alluded to that News at Den article, actually. And it was Andy Ambler at the time, obviously, the chief exec at the time. And he was saying, we've scraped survival the last two seasons. Would we want to reward players for us being in the position we are in now? Some of them, but not all of them. So it sounds like at the time, the club were happy to see the back of him. You had Ian Holloway in charge. Obviously, I think at the time, it was a January window. Holloway was backed quite a bit. We've signed Diego Fabbrini, who I remember the Italian stallion midfield. You know, we kind of changed up a lot and backed Holloway. And obviously, I think it backfired. Well, we got relegated at the end. But Malone, it seemed like it was a bad ending, a sour ending, like you're saying at Millwall. But I think it is a bit of redemption. He's 29 years old. He gives what Marlon Romeo gives on the right-hand side for me. Pace. He's good going forward. And we commented earlier before the show, actually, we could hear everything that was going on at touchlines and hear all the shouts and commands. I heard Rowett on numerous occasions say, get it wide, get it wide. Obviously, Romeo didn't play. We had Hayden Muller at right wing back that we said done all right today. But I think with Romeo right side and Malone left side, I think there's a real ability there to stretch teams, press them, play high. And I think it could be a useful tool. And I touched on Pierce getting done for the goal. I personally see Jake Cooper playing centre-half in the middle. Yeah. And I see Murray Wallace playing left-side centre-back with Hutch right-side centre-back. And then if you add Romeo and Malone into that dynamic, I think you've got a really good back five.
Malone's a good player. Take his attitude out of it. He's a lot older now. He's probably a lot more experienced and whatnot. And at the time, Millwall was very, very fiery environment to be in. You know, we had Holloway, who was a bit of a twat. He had his whole, you know, his whole way of teaching positivity and all that lot. And maybe he was getting blamed for a lot of the losing when it was probably down to the fact of Holloway's setting up and Holloway's doing this. I mean, don't forget the time as well. Holloway was going upstairs into the exec lounge, telling people what formation, how he was going to be playing people before he went back downstairs. So if I had a rival up there, phone call, oh, this is the way they're doing, rearrange, off we go. We're always going to get turned over. But look, always, always happy to give people benefit of the doubt, second chance and all that. And the Millwall way, you know, you play for the shirt, you give us 110%, then win, lose or draw, I couldn't give a shit. As long as you know you gave an effort, then I'm happy with that.
Yep, agree with me, mate. Quick line on Youri Skadak. He was meant to start today and got injured. Play right wing back. He was meant to be playing.
Well, literally in the South End game, he was good.
Yeah, I mean, so
interesting seeing him at right back though.
Yeah, I think obviously Gary Rowett said, you know, he's not in any hurry to get a right wing back after Jason McCarthy left. That was, I think, it's the only departure really that's left. He's gone back to Wickham. Yeah, I mean, he didn't get an opportunity, I don't think. I think Harris signed him, hyped him up a little bit. Obviously, Harris left. And then I think it was quite clear from day dot that Gary Rowett didn't fancy him. But if anything, you've got to think that Marlon Romeo, the competition, it kind of spurred him on to play as well as he did last season. But I do kind of feel a bit sorry for McCarthy. He was kind of left to the side during lockdown as well, told not to turn up to training. You know, it looked like a bad ending. So, I mean, by all accounts, he's not that kind of character, but it'll be interesting to see what he does for Wickham next season in the same league as us, I suppose.
Wickham, we seem to give players to Wickham when they come on fire. So
that's it. So it'll be interesting to watch that space, I guess. Further up in the game today, Williams played in midfield with Ryan Leonards. What did you make of Ryan Leonards? I mean, he seems to be knocking around, seems to be in and around it, doesn't he? I don't know. He's got a good goal on the weekend against his old club Southend, from what we saw on the highlights, or at least on Twitter. But I'm not convinced. I think the best two midfields, hopefully, would be Thompson and Woods. I don't know what you think, mate. I think hopefully Thompson and Woods in the middle.
I think you're correct. I think they've got pace and they're not afraid to run at players. Mm-hmm. I've never really overrated Leonard. You know, this big hype about, oh, Leonard's this. We've been after him for ages and all that. I just can't see what that desire for him is.
He was a million-pound player, which is, I mean,
he's a good player, but
he's got the pedigree, I think, and you can tell he seems to be energetic, getting himself around. Mm. It could be an opportunity this season for him to get into the side, but just me personally, I don't think, especially in the two-man midfield, I think Woods is going to hold the position where he's going to sit deep. And then if you've got Thompson in there, who's got the bit of legs running up and down the pitch, I think that's a combination. I was obviously disappointed for Thompson last season to get injured. I think when you're looking at our best 11, I think them two are going to be the kind of staples of the midfield for us. So worth to see. I think also further up, Mason Bennett, he signs permanent deal. Happy to get Bennett over the line despite his injury worries.
Yeah, I think we need him. He's a good player. We had to really get him, and the fact that it's a permanent now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or potentially it's going to be a permanent.
It is a permanent deal. Yeah. I think one thing to add in there that I seem to have read, but also in Rowett's interview after when he signed, he made it clear that, you know, he's come with the incentive of he's got to play games. So it sounds like through the pipeline a little bit there, at least, that he's getting a basic, but it's nowhere near the level he would be expecting. Mm-hmm. And if he plays games, he'll be getting paid on top. So it's almost a pay-as-you-play game. So...
I think it's the same deal with Bart's got, though, isn't it? I mean, you know.
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure if that got changed, obviously, when he signed permanently, but I think it's promising because it kind of then in that way protects the club and shows that, you know.
Well, I think Bart's got a knee injury, isn't he? An old knee injury. And I think that, you know, I don't think any club's really going to sign. I think Ipswich were a bit unprofessional in what they did there when they leaked why it weren't signing. And I think it was just, you know, as anyone, you know, if you've got someone in to run football, I'm not going to take you on a permanent. If I don't know from game to game if you're going to be fit for the next one. So, you know, I would offer you a pay-per-pay game. The more, you know, I'm happy to give you a chunk paper game to put your wages up, but you've got to make sure you're playing. And I think that then puts it back on the player to make sure that they're eating right, they're doing the training right, they're doing everything what they're supposed to be doing, and then you get the best out of them. Same as with Bennett, you know.
I think it says a lot. I mean, sorry to butt in, but like, it says a lot about the club, as in, like, players come on loan. It's not happened for the first time now, where they want to stay, they want to re-sign. Shows what the atmosphere in the dressing room is like, shows what people think from the outside, you know. Yeah. We're going places, and it's not only us that think it. I think people that are arriving here can see what it's about, so it can only be a good thing.
That's it. I think we're going to do all right. I think this season is probably one of the most exciting we've had for a long time. And I think it's in our hands to throw away. But again, it's injuries, as always, though, isn't it? When you think you're doing well, then injuries. But, you know, I'm excited to see what Parrott can do.
Same here. I think to complete that, when we were talking about our ideal 11, discussed the defence, discussed the midfield. I think it's going to be a front three by the looks of it. Wallace, Bennett and Troy Parrott. Sounds quite decent, no? And then with half hour to go, get on Matt Smith if we're chasing the game. Change the dynamic. Put the shit in the defenders, and you know, it sounds really competitive, don't you think, mate?
Definitely, 100%, mate, 100%. I think I think what the champions proved over the last season or two is that you need to attack teams, and you need to be able to have a goal for it to be able to attack. There's no point being able to attack if you haven't got a goal for it. And I think with those three, you know, playing at the front, I think that gives us, you know, they're all hungry, they're all capable of little tap-ins and everything else, which, you know, we need. But, you know, you look at Thompson and Wood, they're going to be able to stick goals in. Even Cooper, you know, Cooper will be able to stick a few in a season. So I think the season going ahead is exciting, considering everything that's going on. We just need to get fans back in the stadium as soon as, I think.
100%, mate. I think... You know, you bring it on nicely to hopefully fans be back. We're saying October. I mean, you've only got 1,500 people with season tickets at the moment, though. So I'm sure, or 2,000, whatever number was that renewed. So hopefully with a bit of luck, the club can put something out about that. We can get our numbers up. I think the club probably are thinking they're in a position where they know they're going to get the numbers when they put the season tickets out there. So maybe they're not in a hurry to do it. I guess they're waiting for final confirmation,
I think you have to take you out to the club and say, you know what, everyone wanted you to make sure that you looked after the early bird season ticket holders, and you don't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great that part of it is working.
Interesting, there was no John Daddy Budvarsson today. I don't know if he's injured or not. Have you seen anything about that at all? I know I'm asking you a bit.
Is he on international? No.
Maybe, you're right. Yeah, he might have got called up to Iceland if he's already travelled. Good point. I don't know if the international players are already gone yet, but that could be what
it is. Or he's come back from Iceland and they're all fucking isolation or whatever, so yeah.
Cool. I think we've discussed pre-season, mate, and brings me nicely on to Saturday, our first game of the campaign, so to speak, the Carabao Cup. Is it still called the Carabao Cup these days? I don't even know. The League Cup. League Cup.
Remember, Milk Cup. League Cup.
Carling Cup. Whatever cup you want to call it. We're playing Crawley away. What do you reckon to Saturday? I mean, Crawley last season, just to give a bit of a backdrop, I think they finished about 10th or 11th in League 2. I did have the stat somewhere. Finished the season quite strongly. Obviously, it got cut-tailed early, so to speak, and they were chasing in the pipeline, so to speak, of hoping to get the playoffs and push into League 1. They had Harry Keel previously as their manager, and then they've had someone new come in, and he seems to have shook them up a little bit.
Didn't Signed they do new- this last time you played him?
I think they, many moons ago, we played them a lot in pre-season, but I remember one game in the cup actually, and Gary Alexander was still playing for Crawley at the time. They beat us on penalties. That's the last time I remember in a competitive game. I could be wrong. There might be another time, but we'll see Tony Craig in a Crawley shirt playing against Millwall. He's signed for them. Be interesting to see him again. You're talking about players that give 110%. Tony Craig's your at man, isn't he?
Tony Craig, I'll never forget. Yeah, I remember Tony Craig. When we got promoted a couple of years back to the Championship, and I was founder of the board then, and I went in on the Monday, I wanted a picture with the trophy. And I had to wait around a bit. I had an appointment and whatnot to go to, like, for work, and I was waiting around a bit. And Tony Craig took the trophy home and slept with the trophy. And it come back on the Monday morning, like, in bits, mate. It was like, it was sticky, it was fingerprints all over it. I think he slept with it Saturday night, and then I think his kids slept with it on the Sunday night. But yeah, no, it, you know, I don't really know Tony Craig that well. I've obviously spoke to him a bit and whatnot, but he's a great player. We spoke about him obviously in the family review when he got his face done. But he is a proper Millwall player, and he will play until he can't walk.
100%. And former Lions also in the squad. You've got Philippe Moraes, who played here many moons ago, I think 2006 season, and also Jack Powell. Remember him, the youngster that came through?
Yeah.
Same time as Fred, Aiden and stuff like that. He was the midfielder. I think Holloway was the one that kind of played him a little bit and then decided he wasn't going to be here anymore. They're not any pushovers. They've got Ashley Nadasian, if anyone was into their transfer rumours. He's a striker that Holloway tried to sign a few years ago as well. Obviously, he's playing League 2, so he's not really gone on to pass as new and bigger and better than us. But obviously, at the time, we was quite linked with him and rumoured to be interested. But yeah, I think they're going to prove
it. It'll be a hard game. It'll be a good game because they'll want to bring it on. So it'll be a good competitive game. And Saturday's my birthday too, so hopefully we get a win. Otherwise, I'm going to be depressed. So, yeah.
How old are you going to be? 21, mate? Or
45. 40 fucking five. Do you know what I mean?
Bloody hell, mate.
Scary shit, mate. Scary shit. But when I turn 50, my girl turns 18 and my boy turns 15, I think it is. My boy turns 13 and my girl turns 18. And that's scary.
You're really in trouble.
I've got to get myself in shape, mate, to bash the boyfriends up. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, that's it. We got Crawley Saturday, like I said, first round of the Carabao Cup. Hopefully we get a win. I mean, if we don't get a win, it's not the end of the world because we won't have many Tuesday night games this month. I think it's a silly stat. If you get to the fourth round, we play Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday throughout September. Do we want that? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we want to focus on the league and focus on Stoke at home, first game of season, Rotherham away, Brentford at home. You know, it's coming thick and fast, mate.
December's going to be the worst month for us. December and April, I think, is going to be the two real fucking shitty months.
So December, you've got Blackburn, Derby, QPR, Middlesbrough, Bristol City, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth on Boxing Day away, and Watford at home. I mean, I'll agree with you there, to be fair. That's the least month.
That sounds like the fucking month from hell. Plus, you've got Christmas and everything else in there. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, Millwall players will not be having a Christmas.
There's anything to go by Millwall standards, though, mate. We'll probably end up winning all them games that month and then losing in January to Coventry and to Huddersfield. And you know what I mean? So,
Make sure you tune in to the January show when we come back and go, we'll ring this bit of the show back up and we go, Omar said, no doubt we're going to win all these games and we're fucking end up getting battered about 6-7-0 each game.
Or you'll be asking me the lottery numbers because, you know, I'm spot on and bang on the money. But, hey, we'll see what happens. I think we've covered everything today, mate. I think, you know, we've gone into detail. You got anything else you want to add? Or
no, I think I agree with you. I think it's... I think we've covered most of it. Thanks very much to the people who keep DMing us, asking when shows are coming.
Waiting for us, that is.
Right. We always, you know, there's been a few going, oh, you know, this, that, the other. We only ever thought this season really as a trial period. We weren't necessarily launching everything what we wanted to launch. It was more of, you know, let's look at trying to get something out there to test the market. We are looking at roundtable debates. We enjoy them. They're good. We are looking at doing shows.
We're probably looking at what, 2 a week, hopefully. We'll be like a preview on a Friday going out to you guys, and hopefully a Monday or Tuesday you get a little review of the games. Obviously, if there's midweeks, chuck more into there. And if you're into that and you want to get involved, obviously DM us. We're willing to take people in if you're willing to talk about the games. We obviously have had a few people on that have DM'd us before. So if you've got something to talk about Millwall and you want to get involved and give your view, I know Mickey looks forward to your DMs so he can get you guys on the show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Omar's a stat man and the tactician and knowing the difference between a number 8 and a number 7. And me, I just pick the talent. So if you've got an opinion, sometimes the stronger the better. Let us know. We get you on. It's done by Zoom, or hopefully going forward next season, we will be doing face-to-face. And we're going. We are talking to a lot of other podcasts, other football team podcasts. We've got some exciting things. We're working in collaboration with different people. Just really trying to bring you a show with content because we think there's a niche there. We're not slagging off any other platform, including Fat Dan's TV. Look, it is what it is. You've all got done. Kyle's TV, the football analytics, Millwall TV, which is obviously Kyle, is doing great. He's got a great piece. Nick's show just is Nick's show. It's done. I don't know how well the Lionesses stuff is, which is, I think, part of the MSC takeover, because I think they're all involved in the Lionesses, and I wish them all the best of luck. Because a friend of mine is involved in the actual team setup of the Lionesses, so I wish him all the best there, mate. Good pal of mine, which is probably a secret to most people, but he's a good pal of mine, and he's in there now. I think we're looking at a more interactive show going forward. We've got a voice message platform, we've got the emails, we've got the stuff. I'm in talks at the moment with very exciting prospects of going forward. We're in final talks now, which I'm not going to announce until we've dotted the paperwork, but that's going to be hugely exciting and massively great for the fans, for history stuff and everything else, and learning more about Millwall and whatnot. We're going to do the ex-players. We're in contact with loads of ex-players. Loads of ex-players who are fans. We're going to be looking at getting them on Who Are You? We're looking at getting more. We've got a load of people booked going forward on Who Are You? So there'll be shows recorded, which hopefully we'll be doing once a month. And if we've got more, then we'll be doing once a fortnight. We're just going to be looking at getting as much content out there as possible. And remember, look, we do this for nothing. If you want to get involved and you want to sponsor the show, just get in touch with us. We're quite happy to run ads on your show, about your business, whatnot. We've obviously got a main sponsor at the moment, but there's room for more. We've got the guy who does all our graphics and stuff, which is Gareth Wright, which is great. The reason Gareth's there is he helped me out with Wonderwall. And again, Wonderwall couldn't take place this year, but we will be looking at it next year. We just want to focus on Millwall, really, don't we?
100%, mate. That's it. And I can't wait for the season to start. Can't wait until I get to go back to games, especially away games. I miss just, devoting my Saturday to the club. I wouldn't want to do anything better, really, to be honest. And yeah, I think we've covered everything there. If you want to get involved, like I said, just drop us a DM or drop us an email, thatmillpodcast@gmail.com. Leave this, subscribe us, leave a like on obviously our podcast channels, and obviously leave comments because, the more we have interaction with you guys, the better. So I think that's pretty much everything today. Rolled on Saturday, right?
I think if you've enjoyed it, tell a mate, let them, share it, let them listen. If you've got any ideas what you want us to feature on the show, then let us know. We're open to that. So yeah, look, thanks very much for listening. We have yacked on for a fair while today, and And I know that Marie and what's his name, you're not my biggest fans, but thank you very much for listening. It's appreciated. And I think it's over to you now to tell everyone to disappear.
That's it. Obviously, follow us on Twitter as well, and on, like our Facebook page, and watch out for our YouTube channel as well. So we'll leave it at that. So thanks for watching, everyone.
Blocking it.
Take care. See you soon.
See you later.